Strong Enough merch is now available. Go to strongenoughpod.com and check out all the stuff that you can get so that you'll have those daily reminders that you are strong enough, you are worth it. Welcome to the Strong Enough Podcast, where we talk about the challenges and celebrate the triumphs of people just like you. I'm your host, Claudia. Today's guest is back for round two. You guys had questions, and she's coming with the answers. And we're just going to jump right into the conversation because we were so excited to start chatting. Please help me welcome Crystal Brolic-Stokes.
We figured out on a deeper level, mm-hmm. I'm not a surface, like, I've figured out, like, all this surface stuff is just a distraction.
Right.
So, you know, instead of nitpicking, like, when somebody does something to you, instead of nitpicking at, you did this, and then you did this, and I said this, and I did, that's nitpicking. What mm-hmm. is the root? What's deeper? What is the root of what's going on? If we address that root and knock that out of the way, the rest of it takes care of itself.
You know? It seems pretty logical to me.
So in the conversation that was brought up, they were talking about Saul on the road to Damascus, and they brought stuff up, and I was like, I think you're missing the point of the story. So I get these urges, right? It's like a Holy Spirit Tourette's. And I've learned to, like, it's always been real awkward for me. And I have learned to just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just go with it. And because a lot of this stuff, you can tell, you know, watch the pastors, like, there's certain times, even he'll do it, right? Well, I watched Creflo from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will go off. He'll start on one thing, and then all of a sudden it's just like, and he goes off on this whole thing. And he's like, that was for somebody. Because that wasn't, you can tell when it's not part of
right.
the teaching, and it kind of veers off. But then he brings it back, and he's like, that was, somebody needed to hear mm-hmm. that right there. And it was the same thing. And they, one of the guys actually said something. It was very difficult for me to sit there. Like, I literally wanted to grab my bag, and I wanted to get up, and I wanted to walk out of the class. And I had to sit there and pray and be like, God, you've got me here for a reason. And even if I wasn't supposed to be here, you're going to use it for your good. So just help me right now just to focus on what I'm supposed to focus on. And every, because a lot of this stuff, it's just the you have to renew your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to. You can't constantly, you're never going to grow if you don't renew your mind and what you're thinking and stuff. And you learn and you renew your mind. Learn some more, renew your mind. And if you don't do that, you're stuck. And so some of the stuff that was said, it's all just renewal of their mindset and looking at the word and really trying to just dive in, like asking for revelation knowledge. Like, God, can you please reveal things to me
mm-hmm.
that I need to know? Like, I want to learn. I want to know things and I want to understand, you know, so that way when times do come up or you put somebody in my path and, you know, one of the guys in the class said, you know, they teach the kids apparently at, I don't know when, but they work with the kids ministry. And he made a comment and said that he, you know, he tells the kids that, you know, well, God still punishes, like you do something wrong, God's going to punish you. And immediately I was like, you are teaching them wrong. Like it, there was no calm. There was no nothing about it or anything. That was the moment of like, when it comparative to like when Peter said something, just it was prophetic, right? He said that, and then he turns around and says, well, I'll never do this. And Jesus is like, be gone, Satan, right? Because mm-hmm. in the same breath, it's like something happened. And so it was the same concept. It's, you know, he said that, and I was just like, that's a lie. You know, and I was like, God does not punish anymore. I said, that's Old Testament teaching. Mm-hmm. I said, he does not punish anymore. I said, there's consequences for your wrong actions or for messing up or something. I said, but God doesn't punish you because you told a lie. God doesn't punish you because you couldn't stick to the Ten Commandments. God doesn't punish you because you didn't, you know, you looked at somebody wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no, the lightning bolt's not going to come down and strike you dead like it did in the, you know, hellfire is not going to come raining down. He's got, like, we have grace. You have a consequence for that, and you can have the opportunity to learn. The grace is given to you to learn from that. Your mistakes are forgiven, and you have the opportunity to grow. There's still going to be a consequence for that, though. But he's not going to outright punish you. And I was just like, that was like the last straw for me. Like, when it comes to kids, like.
That was Mama Bear coming out.
Oh, it was. All the way. There was no holding that back. So just,
I love it. You know,
and there was a point in time you could tell that the enemy was really trying to work there, because he said they were talking about how, who was it? Ananias is the one that healed Saul's eyes. Ananias. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, they read, you know, I think it was like, it's Acts 9, verse 10 or something like that. The only reason I remember is because it was very standout-ish, right? So, you know, Ananias is asking God, he's like, you want me to go heal Saul? But do you know, like, this is what he does? And I'm a little bit, like, I'm confused, basically, right? And he goes, and God could have, you know, when Ananias did that, I think it just shows that God has a lot of patience with us. And that's when I was like, I think the point of this story is to show, I said, I believe, right? I believe the point of this is actually to let us know that Ananias is human. He's got questions. He's confused. He doesn't understand, but God is gracious enough to answer that and to show us and to give us that patience. Like, he's got patience enough that now we can see. So we now have a diagram to show that when we get into a situation, or we think we hear God, or we're not sure, or we're like, God, are you really wanting, like, I'm confused, that it's okay to say I'm confused. Mm-hmm. And God's going to have the patience and the love, and you're going to receive that grace to be like, yes, this is what I want. I understand this. There's also another part that you don't understand. But mm-hmm. he's going to take that time to explain it to you, you know, because you asked. It's the whole knock and, you know, the door be open, seek, and you shall find. Like, that's what that is. And so he was, yeah. And so I kind of said that. And then they talked about, you know, parenting, and, you know, because of that passage, they're like, you know, what do we say to our kids, you know, when they don't want to do something? Because I said so. And I was like, I don't do that. And it just blurted out. I tell you, the few times that I have said that, like, I said to do it because I said to do it, it feels totally wrong to me. Like, there's something inside of me that's like, don't do that. Because it's a cycle that I've already integrated, that I've already taken, and it's no more. So when you do that, it's like, what are you doing?
I don't do that.
And that's another thing the story shows, you know, God doesn't do that to us because I said so.
Right.
So look at the way he parents us, you know,
emulate that.
Right. So it's one of those things that kind of like a revelation knowledge moment hit me yesterday in that mm-hmm. entirety, where I was just like, oh, wow. So if you look at the way God, like, because at first I was more surface level. So I just got like a deeper revelation yesterday with it. It was how do you want to be spoken to? Or you have questions, mm-hmm. you know, of course there's a time and a place where those questions can get answered. but it's the same thing with your kids, because that topic came up, obviously. And so they were like, no, I just tell my kids I don't have time. And it's like, and then I did finally speak up and I was like, kids are going to emulate you. And if it's an, I said, they don't take the trash out because to them it's an inconvenience, but they see that somewhere that it's an inconvenience to do this. Or, oh, if I leave it long enough, then somebody's going to do it for me. Right. And it doesn't, you know, it's laziness, you know, and I almost didn't want to say it, but it's true. It's it's the truth of the matter. You're being lazy. Your kids are going to be lazy. You know, you don't want something. It's the same thing. And that, I think I said it last time, like, I didn't say this part in church, but like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, like he said, you know, parents were saying, hey, well, why aren't my kids involved in this and this? Well, when they were little, you stifled them. You took away the pots, the pans, the why? Because you didn't want to hear it, right? Yeah. And because you didn't want to hear it, you're like, oh, that bugs me. And then suddenly when it's okay for you now, you're like, well, why aren't you interested? Well,
because you cut it off 10 years ago.
Right? So it was just a lot of different things. Okay. And see, moms, me, are very difficult. My arms are like, my wingspan is like, you know, I have a 74 inch reach.
Jesus.
So having long sleeves is very difficult. And then right. Like fitting wise, it's just,
yeah,
it's strenuous. And so I either am in these big, you know, bulky sweatshirts or something, but you know, I don't find it fair that I have to go buy guy stuff and have it tailored.
I agree.
Like, I think I should get a little more extra, like, discount, you know?
Right, right.
If you're 6 feet or taller, clothes, you automatically get a 10% discount or more, you know?
I love it.
You know, and same thing. Like, why do kids' clothes cost the same amount as an adult clothes? You use less fabric.
Right.
I don't get it.
Why is women's underwear so expensive?
Why?
It's like this big. Like, why are you charging me $20 for that?
Right? Oh, no. 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 No.
Insane.
Yes. It's just, you know, the inconvenience thing. Everything is so convenient. It's on your phone. Like, convenience for certain things is a blessing. But if you overdo it, you become lazy. You become inactive. You know, your mind does not work the way that it did before and stuff. And you don't think as quick.
Right.
You're not, like, you become a mindless drone, basically. You're like, I don't know how to do this. Really?
Right.
You can't think outside the box and try to find a way to make this happen. Look, my kid will come up to me and show me, I don't know how to do. Can you help? No, I can't help.
Figure it out.
And she's like, well, what? Well, I say that to say this. That kid is super, 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 super smart, as are all kids, because when they really want to do something, they are the most creative beings ever. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, in our old house, we had in the closet, we had the, you know, the wire shelving, right? Mm-hmm. The easy, real quick fix, put it in, snap on the bar, right? So that was there. Now we had all our cowboy hats with the very, very top shelf. And all of a sudden she comes downstairs and she's got my hat on. I was like, excuse you. No, ma'am. Go take my hat and go put it back. Like, we're not playing with my hats, right? So then she comes down. She's got her hat on, right? What am I supposed to say to that? Because now no longer my hat.
Right.
It's just like, oh. I was like, no, Neil. I was like, wait a second. I was like, how did you get those? Then it clicked, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, how did you get that down? And she's like, I just got them. And I said, well, go put them back. And I just left it at that. Like, that was it. Didn't care to go investigate anything. We'll put them away, right? She's like, yes, ma'am. So she goes upstairs and then she yells down. She's like, a little help, please. And I was like, no, ma'am, you got them down. You can put them back. All right. And then she comes downstairs. She goes, I need some help. Please, can you come help me? And I said, okay. So I get up and I go upstairs. And I was like, Mila, I don't understand why. Like, I'm like, I don't understand why you need help as we're going up the stairs. Because I know, like, you got them down, right? So then I get there and I'm like, looking. I said, how did you get them down in the first place? She goes, oh, watch. So then she takes these hangers, right? And she takes them and she inverts them up through the wire so that the edge of the thing makes a loop, right? Mm-hmm. So now she's two handles. So she takes them as handles and pulls herself up onto the shelf and climbs up to grab the hats. I said, well, now that you're up there, here you go. Put them away. I said, see, I knew you could do it. You didn't need my help after all.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, wow. So creative.
Super resourceful.
Very. But she doesn't, there's a lot of things that she does not get. She doesn't have a lot of screen time. She doesn't, as they call it. So basically she doesn't watch a lot of TV. Mm-hmm. She does not have a bunch of toys in the fact of here, let's go get all the, you know, she's got like a superhero doll. She's got a bunch of stuffed animals, mm-hmm. but, she's got like the building block stuff. She's got stuff that makes her think, but she doesn't have a lot of the mindless stuff. Like she doesn't have a bunch of dolls. She doesn't have like Barbie dolls or superhero dolls. Like she doesn't have a bunch of that. She doesn't have like, hey, go figure it out with some, like, we went to the range the other day and she found all the, you know, the shell casings and stuff. And then after we shot the shotgun, there's a bunch of shotgun shells all over the place. She's like, mama. And I was like, yes. And she's like, can I come over there? And I was like, yes. And so she comes over and I was like, what's going on? She's like, can I have all this? And I was like, sure. So I like gather them all up for her and I give them to her. And she's like behind us. And she's just, you know, as we're doing stuff, she has moved around. She stays in the sun. So she's warm. And she has, you know, has all these shotgun shells like set up like mm-hmm. in a row and all these, like she's made her own little town and all this stuff, and she fills them up with dirt, and you know, and then when it comes time to move, because the shade has come in and because mm-hmm. the sun's setting, she has gathered them all up and she relocates them all and stuff. So it wasn't until I think the sun completely went down and she could not see and it was cold, we, you know, jacket, hoodie, blanket, chair, here's my phone, now you can watch a show, and she watches Magic School Bus. So it's certain, you know, things like that. You make them play outside. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, all this, the toys that are made can be useful and helping and doing things like Legos, because you're building something, you're thinking how to construct, even though every time I put a piece on, another piece breaks off and it gets entirely frustrating for me. And now I have to learn how to have a graceful touch instead of a forceful. But yeah, so they use your imagination. And I think that's where a lot of toys nowadays take the imagination away from things. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, old school toys and classic toys are awesome. Why? Because they're blocks. It's wooden toys and they're very simple. So you have to use your imagination in order to create things. And then from that comes creation of, mm-hmm. These great ideas and things and stuff like that. I think a lot of it stems from the same thing that we talked about last time, you know, how through the generations, certain things are lost. Mm-hmm. And it was the wrong things of like survival and truth being told, right?
Right.
Like that's the harsh truth. This is what happens in real life. Animals eat other animals. This is what happens. If you don't do this, this is real over here. Mm-hmm. This is a made up world. So you don't remember that. So when this happens, you're like, oh, we got to get rid of it. No, this is here first. This is the way that the world works here. Work with me. Come to work with me. Come cook in the kitchen with me. Learn by watching me and doing. And you learn your steps and you grow up doing certain things. And I think all of that has been lost for a majority of the population, you know, and there's still, and if you look at the difference between kids that, you know, still do that, whether it be in a different country or here, like people that decide to homestead or raise their kids in a certain way to where it's like, no, we take our kids wherever we go. Mm-hmm. We travel with them. They go with us here. They see, and they see. And that's why I say to her, like to people like with her, I've made a couple posts that say, let them see. Let them see you cry. Let them see you struggle. Let them see you have that hardship. However, also let them see you stand up. Let them mm-hmm. see you rely on God. Let them see your victory over that situation. So they now know, okay, this is going to happen in life. There's always going to be a struggle, a trial, a tribulation. Something is going to happen. It's not all sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns that fart out glitter, right? So it's not that. This is reality, and people have a hard time. Sometimes people get sad. Sometimes people get down. But guess what? So when I get sad or I get down or there's something, you know, and I'm, or I don't spend, you know, every second with her or something, it's like, she can see that. And then at some point I'm like, I apologize that I didn't, you know, I've been sad lately, or I apologize, or she sees me praying and then everything changes and I still apologize, but it's life. It's reality. It is. I'm not putting on a show for my own child or future children, you know, it's the truth. And so they are raised, and back then they are raised understanding and knowing, and some things that people are like, well, that's a bit harsh. The world's harsh.
It's real, right?
And so I'd rather them see the truth and then understand how to navigate that rather than sugarcoat it. Mm-hmm. And then when it happens, have them whine and cry and feel be defeated because they don't know how to handle a situation, and then just become whiny and say, well, you have to change because I don't know what I need to. Well, survival of the fittest, either figure it out or get out of the way. You know?
They're completely unprepared for reality.
Yes. Yeah. So I think in the same concept, things like that have changed too, where people are like, oh, well, here, you know, it all intertwines. I'm going to take my child with me, but here, let me put headphones on you and this, so you sit there quiet. It's like, but now there's not learning what you're doing.
Right.
So you've taken them, but now you're missing an opportunity to allow them, and then allow them to learn to behave. Like, do you think every royal child behaves? No. But do you see them with headphones on and devices? No. You know, they have to, that parent, God bless them, because they have to do it with sort of a finesse, right? But it shows that you're able to do it.
Right.
There's time and a place for things. And that kids can learn, you know? It's how are you approaching it? And it goes back to that biblical reference point that we were talking about earlier of how does God deal with you? How are you dealt with? How do you want to be talked to? How does, you know, it all comes back to that. And if you put that biblical reference in there, a lot of that smooths itself out. You're not sugarcoating anything. You know, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. There's the devil loose. There's evil. There's darkness that tries to infiltrate this, and it causes problems. And that stems all the way back from a snake in the garden and all the trickeries, right? So.
Men.
And people would say women because she made them do it, right? So, you know. Just, you know, serpents and the devil in his wiles can go kick rocks, right? So,
what are your thoughts on love now after everything that you've been through?
I'm hopeful. I actually, it's been how long has it been? 5.5 years? 19, 20, 22. Yeah, about 5.5 years. I've forgiven, right? So because I've forgiven, there's no way, like at the beginning of this, that I would have sought anything out. Mm-hmm. My focus was me. My focus was my daughter. My focus was us, right? And I'm no good to anybody if I'm a mess. And I don't need somebody else to, you know, I can't go from the situation I was in to being dependent on somebody else, because then I'm not really actually addressing or healing from mm-hmm. the previous situation. I'm just covering it up and throwing a bunch of other stuff on top of it. And that's when it has the opportunity to leak out into a new relationship and stuff. So, for me, I'm not, God's got somebody for us, you know. I'm not going to shy away from it. It's something that, you know, I now pray for. I would like to be in a relationship, you know what I mean? I would like to be able to, but it needs to be the right one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole experience of what I went through just allows me to see that I'm worth much more, and that, you know, I am a valuable original too. And so, I'm not against it. I'm not out there like, oh, here's this and here's, like, she is a priority. Mm-hmm. So we will go and do things. And when we meet people, and like, God will put people in our path. I don't need to go out and try to find, or I don't need to go and, you know, search or anything. Like, no, I will work on showing my kindness. And when the time is right, God will say the time is right, and everything. So, but I mean, I'm not against it. I did realize, like, you have to, how to put this? You have to truly let go and forgive and understand and allow yourself to heal before you can move on to a relationship. So you genuinely have to, like, there's no way around that, because otherwise you're just going to bring that toxicity and you're going to bring that baggage into the relationship. Yes. There's you know, you're always going to have, like, I think you'll have residuals, and I don't want to say always, I take that back. There might be new triggers mm-hmm. that you didn't realize you had, or like I said before, I forgave and then something happens. And this is like years, like I forgave, but now I'm like, oh, didn't realize that. Okay, I'm going to let that go. And now it's like you have the ability, you have the strength and the know-how to say, mm-hmm. nope, I'll let that go. I'm good. Or take a step back and let's get some quiet time for a second. Don't react. You know, don't nurture the past, you know, and stop what you're doing and be like, okay. And then that way you're able to have a healthy relationship later on and stuff. I don't want my past coming in. Like, it's so draining. It's so draining.
Like, it sucked the first time.
Right? Like, I'm good. Like, can somebody just, like, hi, ready to meet you. Like, can we not even talk about my past? Like, it came up. It is what it is. And I think that when you get to that point and it's like, ah, it happened. It is what it is. Like, it's done deal and stuff. That shines through, right? Mm-hmm. Because that means there's other person's like, oh, well, you know, you have a kid, you had some trauma from the past, but it's not defining who you are. It's part of it. You can use it for good, but we're not going to sit there and dwell on it. We're not going to sit there and let it affect anything in the way of, like, dictating how they're, like, do you want to get into a relationship with somebody that you're having to, like, pick their pieces up constantly?
Yeah, no.
So reverse the situation, right? you wouldn't want to deal with somebody like you in your state that you're in, you're not ready. You know, so.
And I think that's where so many people fail. And I have failed that way too, where it's like you get rid of whatever's negative and you're like, oh, I'm good. Let's move forward. And you're not good yet. And then you just repeat the same thing, you know, over again. It's like same story, different character, different
book. I also think that, I also believe that when you have to build a foundation with somebody anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, as you're building that foundation, right, you're going to, it's like, it's very rare that you see somebody and you're like, you're it, right? Like, let's go get married. And 3 months later, you're married and stuff. Granted, that happens. And it might happen to where one person, like you do see somebody, you're like, if that person asked me to marry them, I would marry them. And God's got, because you know, mm-hmm. right? But they still have their stuff too. So you have to take it slow, or you have to, like, you have to build that foundation. There's a foundation that has to be built. You have to be friends. You have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to, and that takes time, more time for others than other people. God's got the whole thing under control though. But you have to build a foundation, and in any type of a relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a partnership for business, or you know, a colleague's type, any type of relationship. And I think that people always think that, when you say relationship, it strictly means leading to marriage.
Right. Intimate. Personal.
Yeah.
Right.
And, but there's, you know, you can achieve intimacy without that type of, you know, physical intimacy, right? It doesn't have mm-hmm. to be that, like, and that is the foundation that you build, that type of intimacy and that foundation. Then when you get to the actual physical, the marriage part of it, if that is because relationships include family members,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, how is your relationship with that? Are you holding on? Did your past trauma also hinder your family relationships? Did it ruin them? Did it strain them? Did it, you know, so you got all these little entities and stuff. So fix these, right? You know, learn to let stuff go too, and let God and everything. I did. So I read on some of the stuff that, you know, you just got to be careful not to feed into that anger mm-hmm. or that frustration. You genuinely have to let it go. Genuinely.
And you, that's the hard part.
That it is. And it might take a while. And focus on you, your relationship with Christ, and just trying to see what His will for your life is. And get comfortable with that, but become familiar with that and grow in that. And then, you know, after that, you'll see, okay, now I'm ready to start actually chatting with people and talking to people. And my circle has changed because people aren't feeding into me being upset or me holding on to this, or, you know, I have a friend that there's every once in a while he'll get on and start ranting a little bit, right? And then somebody will make a comment and say, no, you let it out. And I will come on and be like, hey, don't forget this. Don't forget that all things are working in your favor. Don't forget that. And just give like a little reminder. And then he'll bring it back down and be like, oh. So you don't want that, like, yes, it's okay to be upset. Yes, it's okay to feel frustrated. Yes, those are all emotions, but you can't let that lead and guide you. That's not what those emotions are for. Those are, you know, so you have to be careful when those people or people around you are doing that, because the enemy will use that against you. And it's a subtle attack. You don't realize it. You just think, oh, this person, thank you for, you know, allowing me to vent. But really, they're feeding into that mm-hmm. part of you. You're supposed to be giving that to God. You're supposed to be letting go of that. And you God can't change your past. So why are you sitting here rehashing it and trying to do it? Take it. Did it suck? Yes, it does. Yes, it did. Is it hard to deal with at times? Yes, it is. Are you going to have your good days and your bad days? Yes, you are. Are there days that I sit here and I get sad because I feel lonely? Yes, there are. Do I have other mixed feelings about that? Yes, because I have a child that is here. It's like, how can you be lonely? There is another human being here and they love you unconditionally, right? And they love it when you giggle with them and play and tickle, and you go in and look, and she's at a stage where she's like, watch this reaction of something. Oh, this is so funny, right? Like, she's understanding little things. How are you feeling lonely right now? You know, or why do you feel alone? And it's just, and I think that's a sign that it's like, okay, I'm ready for friendships. I'm mm-hmm. ready to actually interact with people God's taken away all the negative circle, right? The caged circle of people that were around me. And now I'm like, okay, can we start building up the good circle, right? That's not a cage, but can we start building that up? And now that I'm ready to do that, there's a whole different outlook on things. If any of that makes sense, I feel like I'm
it totally makes sense. And I feel like we a lot of times get stuck in that venting and negativity, and other people easily feed into that. And when you were talking about your friend, like, that posts and somebody else is like, oh yeah, like, let it out. And you're like, but wait, I was in a car with a couple women, I don't know, maybe a month ago, two work friends. And so we were going to a meeting, and I don't know, like, there was road construction or something. And so the girl in the back and me were both like, oh, I hate it when they don't put signs up and then people just try to, like, mow you down and get right in front of you and just cut you off. And we're kind of like feeding off each other. And the driver goes, hey, let's, like, take it down a notch. let's not have this negativity right now. And we were both like, oh, sorry. And we totally, you know, switched our demeanor, and we were like, okay, well, let's talk about something positive. But it is so easy when you have people around you that feed into it to get into that negative cycle. But it's just as easy to come out of it. You know, if you have somebody there that is willing and brave enough to say, stop.
Yeah. It's just a little reminder, like, mm-hmm. hey, you're complaining. And you're like, I am? No, I'm not. Oh, I am complaining. Yeah,
we sure
And when are. You start complaining about things, it just, it boils over and it turns into something more than what it should be. And now the enemy just sits back and says, ha, ha, ha,
right.
I've ruined your whole day. And you're like, that's, you know, because, and it's subtle. It's a subtle tactic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you try not to do the, you know, you catch yourself complaining and you're like, wait, pause. Okay. This might stink. And I have found that really remembering, and this is a new part for me that has started, like, coming, like, I remember it a lot. Is that even if I make a mistake, even if I mess up, even if I falter or I stumble or something tries to detour me, stop. God will turn that into the good. So let's stop what we're doing for just a minute. And let's say, okay, let's reassess this real quick. This might be a cruddy situation. and I made a mistake, or I don't know what I'm supposed to do, or maybe I wasn't supposed to sit on the couch all weekend, right? Maybe I was supposed to get up and do something, but I did not. It's okay. God will take that and he will use it for his good, which is for my good. Mm-hmm. And all will be well. All will be well. It'll be okay. And let me just move forward from here and not, you know, and let that, and let it go. A lot of stuff, Dr. Creflo or Creflo Dollar, he, his wife says, put it to bed. Just put it to bed. Don't let that stuff rent space in your mind. Like, you're allowing people mm-hmm. or things to rent space in your mind. Don't allow them to rent space in your mind, and just, you know, put it to bed. And leave it there and move on, move forward, move forward, make some forward progress. And nothing's, and then if you falter, you take a couple steps back, you falter, you take a couple steps back, reassess, God, help me out. You know, hey, it's okay. I made a mistake. I'm human. Everybody makes mistakes. I caught it earlier this time. That's a positive, mm-hmm. right? I caught it earlier. It used to take me a year to realize what was going on. Now it might take me a week. Pretty soon it'll take you a couple days. And then it'll take you a couple hours. Or, and it depends, because what, the enemy's always changing his attack on you, mm-hmm. right? So he used to have to, he could easily just blatantly smack you in the face with something and you'd be like, ah, that was me, right? Like, we used to, my best friend used to say, she goes, we need to just make like a little cartoon strip of you and your rant, because your rants, like, they would be on the most ridiculous things. We were going to football practice and I saw these two women walking down the streets, their street, and they had leggings on, but they were just like leisurely walking. They weren't like walking with a purpose. They weren't jogging. They weren't leisurely, just strolling down the street, just strutting away, right? And I was like, why? Why are you in athletic gear? Why are you in workout gear and you're not doing anything? Like, I don't understand. And I just like, I literally went off over somebody's leggings. Like, it still irks me.
I do have a different. So I refer to leggings and then there's stretch pants. Do you know the difference?
No, what's the difference?
So for me, and I do wear leggings sometimes and I'm not working out. So I'll go ahead and own that. So in my world, leggings are what like smaller people wear. Stretch pants are for fat people.
Oh my goodness. I get it.
So I try really hard not to wear stretch pants. And if Lee says like, oh, he'll jokingly do it now because he knows. And he's like, oh, wearing stretch pants, are you? And I'm like, am I? Am I wearing stretch pants?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. No, but it just, we had just finished running or something and it was football practice, something. And I went into a store just to like look and the girl's like, oh, she's like, do you work out or something? That's a cute little outfit. And I was like, yes, I work out. This is not just an outfit to wear. Like, what is wrong with you? Oh my goodness. I remember in high school, because I was always taught, you know, to present yourself, you know, like, don't be a mess, mm-hmm. right? Present yourself. And that honestly, when you don't present yourself well, you feel like crud.
Right.
So even if you feel like crud, start to do the presentation of yourself and you'll feel a little bit better. It's not going to cure all, but it helps, right? Mm-hmm. It assists in the uplifting of the spirit, right? And so I remember in high school, we had the girls started, they'd come to school and their hair would be like a mess. It's the beginning stages of all the messy stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But they would, you know, high school, they'd, oh, let's wear pajama bottoms to school, right? Like all of that stuff, right? Those girls, right? And so I would look at them and I would say, well, couldn't you at least do your hair? Like, if you're going to wear a pajama, like, whatever. That's what you want to turn it into a cutesy thing and you guys all want to do the popularity thing over here. That's fine, whatever. I obviously was not in that crowd. Very much my own. But could you at least, like, that's just the way I thought. I was like, could you at least do your, like, why wouldn't you at least present yourself, like, take care of yourself, present yourself in some form of a professional manner to where you don't look like you're just walking out of bed, right? And that you're like, it says a lot about yourself. And I think, you know, society, that's one thing that there's like, oh, here, look like a slob. It's okay.
It's no, not okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay at all. It's not
really
at all.
Not really? Okay.
No, it's not. So, I see you're wearing short sleeves today.
I am. Yeah. So.
Oh, look at that. Oh, wow.
So there's that one.
Oh, that's nice.
That's my most recent, well, shit, I lose track. This is my most recent big tattoo, which was last January. So it's a continuation of this one with the amaryllis flowers and then armor of God. And it's got some color. It's got some really tiny colors in it. So there's blue.
Oh,
right on the edge. So that's for my police days. And then in some of the cracks, there's gold coloring and that, represents the Japanese art of kintsugi.
Oh, that's the, when they fill in the cracks and stuff. Oh,
yes. So I wanted that represented because they believe that when you rebuild it, it's stronger and more beautiful than it was before. So that's
used that analogy with somebody. I forgot the name of like what it was called, but I used that analogy when explaining communion to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think of is, you know, because you take the bread, which represents his body, right? And he was a carpenter. So if you think about it, he takes the cracks, the fractures, and then you think of like porcelain or glass, like China. Right. And it's like, he takes the cracks, the fractures, the chips, the breaks, the nicks, all of it. And he fills it in. And in my head, I see that gold,
mm-hmm.
like filling things in. However, I also see it as like wood though too, because he was a carpenter, right?
Right.
So he fills in all of that and then he sands it down. And then it ends up being this beautiful piece of filled in whole
mm-hmm.
piece of creation. Right. And now it's even more, it's even stronger. The story, the testimony behind it, and it just mm-hmm. all intertwines and stuff. And so I think of that.
That's awesome. Thing.
I think of how communion and taking, you know, how he's filled all that in and he's made us whole in every aspect of our lives and stuff. So yeah, that's a cool thing. Like nobody else has ever, that's an awesome,
thank you.
Awesome, thing to do. Like a lot of people don't take that detail and put it into,
right.
They're like, what's that? Oh, you know.
Yeah, just stuff. I had a really good artist. He was not supposed to be my artist. My artist was, he wasn't sick. His mother-in-law, something happened to her. Like she fell, broke a hip, something. She's fine now. But so he couldn't come in, and they were like, oh, are you okay? Like, if this other guy does it. And I was like, yeah, like, I'll look at his stuff. And but he nailed it. Like, he understood the assignment. You know what I mean? Because I go in, and I don't go in with like a picture of this. I go in with like, so I want like an armor of God, but like, it needs to be cracked, but like, there needs to be some flowers. And then I don't know, I like this kintsugi thing, and I want them to create it. And so
you're the same. We're samesies.
I love it. Cause like, I'm not an artist. So like, I want to give you
the creative one.
Right.
I have an idea, but I'm allowing you your artistic freedom.
Yes.
To come up with something very creative and unique. I don't want something that you got in like, here, let's take this off. And, right. You know, like this, you know, everybody's got a thing, right? So it's like, here, let me just take a symbol off the wall and slap it on.
Back it on. Yeah. Hey,
no, you did not come into this profession to do
what I tell you to do. Right.
You know, and so here, allow your artistic, like, what would you like to do? Like, what is something that you feel and then it's really unique in that way. So,
right. And yeah, that's what I love to do, because like, I want to give you what I'm thinking, but have you turn it into something amazing.
Yes.
But thank you for being so just you. Like, you're fantastic. And I love you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You have been such a blessing to me. I haven't talked about or shared any of it. And to be very honest, it has brought some stuff up in the off time of everything, and it has allowed me to let go and put some more stuff to bed, and just recognize that I didn't really like. I recognized, but I didn't fully. I don't think like I recognized it, but I didn't fully like. Oh, how can? Okay. This is really what's going on.
Right.
And so I'm very, very grateful that God has introduced us and yes. can work through the both of us to reach other people. And hopefully these conversations and, you know, will inspire, encourage, uplift, and be a light for somebody, anybody, male or female, that needs it. You know, and that it just plants little seeds and helps them to understand that it takes time and your patience. Patience is the persistence to keep pushing through. It's not going to happen right away. Things don't happen that quick, you know, and to give yourself some grace and just to stop, pause, think. And stuff. So I really do appreciate the opportunity to do this, and you've helped me in many ways. So you have blessed me as well.
I appreciate that. Well, you have blessed me because I get a lot out of these conversations as well. And you have just been, you've given me a lot of messages recently that I needed to hear. So I appreciate that.
If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and follow us on social media so you'll never miss what's going on. Remember, until next week, you are strong enough, you are worth it.
Thank you for listening to the Strong Enough Podcast. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform by searching Strong Enough. And on YouTube, we're on the Spear Talk channel. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Strong Enough Pod. If you have suggestions for an upcoming episode or a future guest, please reach out at strongenoughpod@gmail.com. Remember, you are worth it.